The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you wanna mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you wanna jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is The Minnick Minute. The Minnick Minute is a brief podcast where we talk about a specific issue related to the Cincinnati Bengals. And today, where else will we start but with the offensive line? Of course, that's been the big talk of the offseason. Joe Burrow ends the season on injured reserve. He has surgery. We see pictures of him in the new jerseys. Everybody's excited about the new jerseys, but you can't help but notice that scar on his knee, right? So that's been the big talk. Have the Bengals done enough? Now, I see people rating this offensive line very low, and that's fair because there's definitely some big-time question marks and people with a lot to prove out there. But when I hear people say that they haven't done anything to address the offensive line, that's just not the case. All right, that's just crazy. So let's talk about the offensive line in 2020 compared to what we're going to be looking at here in 2021. So in 2020, you had Jonah Williams at left tackle, Michael Jordan at left guard, Trey Hopkins at center. You were supposed to have Xavier Suofilo at right guard. That didn't last long as he had an injury towards the beginning of the season there. And Bobby Hart at right tackle. Of course, Jim Turner was your offensive line coach. We saw a big change there as well. So coming into this year, let's focus on the right side. They made a big acquisition in Riley Reiff. He's a little older and hasn't played at the same level recently. But this was a former first-round pick who has gotten it done in the NFL. So guy with a lot to prove, absolutely. But upgrade from Bobby Hart, also absolutely, right? So they've done that, right? They've done something to try and solidify that right tackle position and to make an upgrade there. At right guard, look, we all thought the Bengals were taking a tackle in the top 50 of this draft. And, you know, there was the Penei crowd. Obviously, I think anybody would have been on board with Penei. But, you know, there are the people that really wanted Penei. A lot of the Most of the national media thought they needed to take Penei in round one. But I think the consensus amongst all of us was it was going to be a tackle in the second round. And they did and they didn't. All right. They took Jackson Carman, played left tackle at Clemson. But right away they said, hey, he's a guard. All right. And that's Zach Taylor sticking to his guns. When they went out and they got Riley Reiff, they said Reiff's the right tackle, Jones the left tackle. And they're sticking to it. And Jackson Carman, they bring him in and they're putting him at guard. I think, personally, looking at his film, I think he's a much better fit. It made me feel a lot better about the pick when I knew they were planning on putting him at guard. Maybe it's a Whitworth situation, though. You know, maybe it's a situation where he develops and eventually takes over that right tackle position. That certainly makes sense why they would put him at right guard rather than left guard, even though he played left tackle in college. Right guard, get him used to playing on that side, the communication over there, and then boom, maybe he eventually replaces Riley Reiff at the right tackle position. All right, but look, for now, he's a good player, and he's going to be a good upgrade at that guard position. You know, I believe that, but obviously, taking a tackle in college and a rookie, plugging him in as a starter at a different position, that's a bit of a projection. So, again, do the Bengals have a lot to prove? Yes. Have they made moves? Have they done something that you can believe in? That you can, you know, maybe not put your full faith in, but have they made some moves that if they work out, can definitely make this line a lot better? Absolutely. Big time moves with a high pick and a former first round pick. Adding those guys to their right side of that offensive line could potentially be huge for this team. All right, so let's talk about the rest of the line, okay? Now, first of all, right guard was a crazy position for the Bengals last year. We mentioned it was supposed to be Xavier Seofilo. There was a few different things that happened there. All right, we ended up getting in Spain, who came in late in the year, okay? Now, really, Spain and Xavier Seofilo are both guys who primarily have played left guard throughout their career. So now that the Bengals have really the option at that left guard position of those guys, and they're going to be more comfortable in that position, you know, because we've seen them in that role more throughout their career. So Spain did some pretty good things last year, and really he was a guy off the street. You know what I mean? So now having a full offseason, actually having time to learn people's names and know what's going on instead of just getting thrown into the Titans game, we should expect more out of him this year and playing a position he's comfortable with. Xavier Seofilo, you know, now playing on that left side. Seofilo actually played better. Seofilo was one of the better offensive linemen when he was healthy last year. So don't rule him out as well. I think people talk about Spain right away, but don't rule out that Xavier Seofilo could be the guy at that spot. So we got two additions, and we've got a third change of position, you know, with those guys who were both here at some point last year, but really were both acquisitions last year as well. So, look, there's been some changes there. And who are you bringing back? You're bringing back your top two offensive linemen. You know, you've got Jonah Williams, all right, former first-round pick at the left tackle position. Look, he has played very well. He does some things really, really well. And now, you know, we'll get to in a second, he's going to have a change to the coaching, which should certainly help his development. Jonah has been labeled by some as injury prone. I don't believe that to be the case. He didn't miss a game in college. Came to the NFL with a shoulder injury. We like now know that. Like we've seen it. He was wearing a brace the year before when they drafted him. You know, he aggravates an old injury and he misses that first year. That's really not an injury-prone situation to me, all right? That's kind of a fluke thing that he came in there with. Last year, he played in 10 games. He would have played more. They shut him down at the end of the year because they weren't competing. You know, if Burrow was playing at the end of the year, you know, if they would have had Burrow and maybe strung together a couple of games because they had Burrow at the end of the year, Jonah Williams comes back and finishes that season. So I don't think it's really fair to label him as injury-prone. He's had a couple of things. I don't see it as a major concern personally. Trey Hopkins also coming off an injury. All right. A little bit more of a concern, but it sounds like he's good to go. He's on a good path. If he's not back, they've got Billy Price. Look, Billy Price takes a lot of heat from this fan base. I went back to watch film from his rookie year, really just to see Frank Pollock, you know, what the offense looked like with Frank Pollock. And Price just kept standing out to me. Like we forget, he was pretty good as a rookie. He had a pretty good season as a rookie. So now, again, with Frank Pollock back, I feel comfortable with Billy Price, at least in the short term. If, you know, Trey Hopkins' injury recovery is a little slower than we want it to be, I can live with that with Billy Price, with Frank Pollock. So, again, Frank Pollock is the other big thing, you know, adding that type of coach. Look, Joe Mixon led the AFC in rushing last time he was here. They had less talent on this offensive line, but were better pass blockers. Break it down. Look at the offensive line they had. They didn't have people, and they did a better job. So I think Frank Pollock is a real good addition. But again, look, he's got things to prove, just like a lot of these guys in the line have things to prove. So I understand the apprehension. I understand why they're ranked low. I just don't think it's fair to come out and say that they haven't done anything, because they have had some major changes. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns for a second. All right, because that's kind of the example, right? The lynch mark of a team that had a really bad offensive line, and they went out and they made some changes. And this year, they were arguably the best in the league. You know, PFF, I believe, has them as the best offensive line in the league this year. Of course, adding Callahan, all right, new coach, that was a big addition. In 2019, in the previous year, they were trying to replace Kevin Zeitler, and they didn't seem to really have a plan for it. Wyatt Teller eventually took over. Wyatt Teller didn't play that well that year. So that was, you know, a bit of an issue. Their tackle play was really bad. They had brought in Chris Hubbard. They had Greg Robinson at the other tackle, and the tackle play wasn't good. So what do they do? You know, first of all, they didn't touch Teller. They left Teller alone, even though he hadn't played very well at that guard position. What did he do? He came out and was the highest-ranked guard on PFF last year. So that worked out for them, all right? Sticking with that guy. They drafted Jedrick Wilson in the first round, all right? Bama tackle, all right? Bengals didn't really need to do that because they already had a guy at that position. And they got Jack Conklin, big free agent acquisition. Different than the Reef acquisition because Conklin is quite a bit younger, all right? And still more in the prime, not, you know, definitely not coming off the type of season that Reef has. But really, that's all they did, right? They added one free agent, and they drafted a guy. You know, the Bengals, what did they do? They drafted a guy a round later, and they added a free agent, but yeah, a little bit more, you know, sunset of his career type of free agent, hopefully not, but, you know, a little bit older guy, not quite as big of a name, not quite as big of money. My point here is, it was a couple of splashy moves for the Browns, but it's not like they really went crazy. They replaced two guys and the coach, and the Bengals replaced two guys and the coach, and they're probably going to have a better situation at the other guard position because of it. So, I'm, you know, just to use that as a comparison, is it as flashy? Is it as splashy? Is it as much of an investment as what the Browns did? No. But is it really that different? I mean, if things work out, it might not be. So, that's how you kind of look at those two situations. Could the Bengals be that team that makes a big leap this year based on the change of their offensive line? I think they absolutely could. But again, there are some question marks there, some things that they're going to have to figure out. Now, let's talk about coaching a little bit more. And I want to look at week 8 last year. All right, the Bengals played the Titans. Several injuries to the Bengals offensive line. We mentioned Xavier Suofilo. That happened right away, basically, this year. Jonah Williams was out that week. Bobby Hart was out that week. Trey Hopkins was out that week. And then I'm doing the pregame show live on Cincy Jungle along with my guys John Sheeran and Anthony Cosenza. And we find out Michael Jordan not playing in the game. Woke up, you know, like that morning he was sick. He wasn't playing in the game. So now we're looking at 5 for 5 day one starters not playing in that game. And literally on the show, I was like, well, they're going to win. You know, I think for most people, they'd be like, well, they're definitely not going to win now. I like probably didn't have much confidence in the first place, but that was the moment where I was like, they're going to win. And why? Because the pressure's off. You can just go out there and play. Like nobody was expecting anything of them, you know? And that was just kind of like the vibe I had, the feeling I had about it, especially like with a guy, like, I don't know Jim Turner personally. I've never seen the guy coach in person, but with his reputation, with his demeanor, you know, what we know about him, you could see where guys can play tight in that situation, right? But there's no playing tight when you got 5 backups in the field. Like, it's all off, all right? All that pressure's off. And look, pressure is important in coaching, right? Guys have to know that there are consequences. Guys have to know what the expectations are for them. And that has to be placed on them. But at the same time, you got to figure out how to get guys to play loose and to be cool, all right? And that's what they did in that game. You know, they came out. You had Adeniji, a rookie starting at left tackle. You had Fred Johnson starting at the other tackle. Billy Price, Alex Redmond. And Shaq Calhoun starting in the interior. Calhoun gets benched for Spain, who I think was picked up that Friday. And that ended up being the piece they needed. Like, all those guys out there, like, it was just, it was simple. You know, like, you kind of had to make things simple for them. They're not overthinking things. You got Adeniji, a rookie, playing next to Spain, who'd been there for, like, 2 days and probably hadn't met half these guys. You've got to keep it really simple because they haven't had time to learn everything. And again, you can't put all that heat on. Naturally, the pressure's released. And that's what, look, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Bengals offensive line this year because you think those guys don't hear everybody talking about, we've got to protect Burrow. You think those guys don't know, you know, about all that? They do. So Frank Pollock needs to figure out how to push them to improve their technique, to make sure they know everything that they need to know, but also to be the cooler. You know, to be able to get them to chill and just go out there, be loose, be confident, and perform on the field on Sundays. And, like, again, that's what they did in that Titans game because it didn't matter at that point. You know, like, Jim Turner didn't create that situation. Like, it was thrust upon them, and it worked. Frank Pollock needs to figure out how to do all of his coaching during the week and then get them ready to compete by being cool and being confident on game day and really releasing that pressure valve, all right? Because it's too much, all right? It's too much. Like, you play too tight. You play too wound up. You've got to be able to find that comfort zone where you're intense, you're fired up, all right? You're finishing blocks, all right? You're dominating your opponent, right? You're coming off and you're doing all those things. But at the same time, like, you're loose and you're confident. You're right. There's not that thing in the back of your head like, oh, what about Burrow? What if I get him hurt? What if I'm that guy? Like, you can't have that. You can't play football like that. You can't live life like that. You know, like, you've got to be able to chill a little bit. To me, that's what they had in that Tennessee Titans game. That's why I predicted that win, because I was like, there's no excuses now. Like, there's no pressure. So there's, you know, they can just go out there and play, you know, and be free. And they scored 31 points and didn't give up a sack in that game. So that's what they need to create. And that's the situation that they're in here. But I think Carmen and Reef were two quality ads, you know, potentially very good ads. So we'll see what comes of it throughout the season. But the pressure is on Frank Pollock to figure out how to get those guys going and then to relieve the pressure from everything else and get them to just play on game day. Get everybody at their peak during the week, everybody at their peak in the offense, and then get them to relax and go out there and play the game the way they know how to do it on Sundays. So I am Matt Minnick. This is the Minnick Minute, and that is my take on the Bengals' offensive line and what they need to do and how really they can be successful this season. Thanks for tuning in. Hooday. Yeah, we coming for what's ours. You hit it.